This is Hometown Heroes. Honoring everyday Americans who answer the call of duty.
Welcome back to Hometown Heroes, visiting with Rear Admiral Dick Lyon of Oceanside, California, originally from Pasadena. He likely would have earned an Olympic gold medal on a freestyle relay team if the 1940 Games had not been canceled because of the raging war in Europe. Instead, Dick made history in the Navy, and we've heard a fair amount of that journey so far, exploring some of his adventures in World War II and the Korean War.
You said, for the most part, you never really felt like your life was in danger, other than that moment you told us about. But in World War II or Korea, did you ever experience the loss of someone that you knew well?
Yeah. But you don't dwell on something like that. The impact is always there and still is. That's just part of serving, I think. As the saying goes, somebody had to do it, and our guys were there doing it, and a lot of them didn't make it. That's Navy special warfare, and that's something you don't sit around and dwell on, frankly.
Just kind of understood. It goes with the territory?
Precisely that.
Well, speaking of Navy special warfare, now you told us at the end of World War II, you told your superior officer that you wanted to go home and he had to give you the bad news you didn't have enough points. After Korea, did you decide you wanted to be a Navy man? Were you thinking right there, hey, I want to do 4 decades in the Navy?
Things have a way of turning out. Went back, got my MBA, but I stayed in a reserve component of Navy Special Warfare, and that's all I did as a reservist, was always oriented toward Navy Special Warfare. So the Navy system has what are called selection boards, and as you become eligible for promotion to your next rank, next grade, you go before a selection board. Well, I'd gotten all the way up to captain as a naval reservist with active duty in World War II and Korea, and actually was a Navy SEAL, having achieved that through going to all that I needed to do, including jump school, which I did at Lakehurst, New Jersey in the dead of winter, which was not exactly a lot of fun, but I did it. That's kind of where I was. And as a captain, I went before the selection board in my first year of eligibility for promotion. And of course, I got turned down because at that point, Navy Special Warfare did not have any flag officers, admirals. So I was not at all surprised. I figured, well, okay, I've got one more year to go. I'll get another look. Meanwhile, I'm going to enjoy myself. So I, again, stayed active as I was able to. And much to my astonishment, when I got my second look, I got a phone call from the Pentagon. A very senior admiral said to my son, who answered the phone at the time, I want to speak to Admiral Lyon. We just finished running on the beach. We lived in Balboa at the time. And he pounded on the door and he said, Dad, he said, there's some guy, says he's from the Pentagon, and he wants to talk to Admiral Lyon. And I opened the shower door and said, what? Give me the phone. So I took the phone, and sure enough, that was the call.
So that made you the first SEAL ever to become an admiral. And when you think about those men throughout all these years, from the scouts and raiders to the frogmen of the UDTs to the SEALs coming in the 60s and what they're doing now, how much pride does that give you to be the first SEAL to become an admiral?
That happened, and my date of rank is 1 July 1974, the first Navy SEAL admiral. Anytime I think about it, which is not that often, I think, what? How did that happen?
I get the sense that distinction you have as the first admiral to come from the ranks of the SEALs leaves you with a sense of responsibility, and maybe that's why you continue to give back to those who are coming through now. I mean, the fact that at age 90, you're mentoring a class of future SEALs that are hoping to graduate here in the next month. What kind of satisfaction do you get out of that?
Again, Paul, I think you put your finger right on it. The Navy SEALs are, in a word, unique. There's nothing that compares to that Navy Special Warfare unit, and it's the only one. We now have 12 flag officers on active duty. The commander of all special operation forces is a 4-star Navy admiral whose name is Bill McCraven. And Admiral McCraven was the one, in essence, he planned, executed, in every sense of the word, the operation which took out Osama bin Laden. He, by the way, is Bullfrog 15. I was Bullfrog 1. The Bullfrog is that SEAL, officer or enlisted, who is on active duty and has the longest tenure in Navy Special Warfare.
What strikes you about the would-be SEALs that you meet? What are the you said unique. What are the things that they possess that so many others don't that helps them become Navy SEALs?
I'm having a lot of fun doing this with the class, and I've met with them so far maybe, I think, 5 times. I have told them, either you have to have the determination that you will make it or you won't. It's that simple. If you don't have that determination, you're not going to make it.
You have on your lapel, and we're just hanging out on the beach here in Oceanside. You've got a great front porch here with the surf crashing right in front of your deck. So we're hanging out here on the beach, casual, and you've got your polo shirt on, but you still have a little pin on your lapel. It's gold-colored, and it's something that's pretty hard to obtain. Tell us what's on your collar there.
That's a miniature trident. Actually, it's part of me. I've had so many occasions where I will be somewhere and somebody will come up and say, that's a SEAL trident you're wearing, isn't it? And I said, yeah, it's interesting you would recognize it. And he said, well, I'm retired SEAL or I'm on team whatever. And invariably, the next question will be, what class were you? And I have a lot of fun at that point by saying, were you Scouts and Raiders or Underwater Demolition? And I'll look at him like, well, UDT, I guess. Well, Class 2. Come on. They usually, come on.
What is that trident mean to you? It seems like you take great pride in it.
I absolutely do. It's the trident is very meaningful because the composition of this little device, which is like the naval aviator's gold wings, the trident identifies Navy SEALs at this point. The name SEAL is not, we didn't run around and finally decided, what do we call it, Navy SEALs or walruses or no. SEAL actually has a real meaning, and the S is the first letter C, which is the medium in which we conduct our direct operations. So sea, air, and land. SEAL. How about that? Comes out.
Sea, air, land. And this was not something you came up with, but it's something I know you believe in. The SEAL ethos. I guess this is how you program your brain to understand who you are once you become a SEAL. It starts, in times of war or uncertainty, there is a special breed of warrior ready to answer our nation's call. A common man with uncommon desire to succeed. Forged by adversity, he stands alongside America's finest special operations forces to serve his country and the American people and to protect their way of life. I am that man. Does that just represent the calling, the responsibility? When you hear those words, what does it mean?
Here's who you are. This is now who you are. And right up to this very point, this did not apply to you. But once you are a Navy SEAL, it does. That's what we're looking at. As you can see, the last short words, I am that man.
And I think a lot of people just think of it as a physical process of the grueling training that produces a new physical specimen. But you talked about determination as being the biggest factor. And this ethos, I guess, maybe is the capstone of that mental and psychological transformation. Let me read the rest of it, and then you can tell me what stands out to you, maybe what's most important or significant to you. We heard that first part, and the next paragraph starts, "My trident is a symbol of honor and heritage bestowed upon me by the heroes who have gone before. It embodies the trust of those whom I have sworn to protect. By wearing the trident, I accept the responsibility of my chosen profession and way of life. It is a privilege that I must earn every day. My loyalty to country and team is beyond reproach. I humbly serve as a guardian to my fellow Americans, always ready to defend those who are unable to defend themselves. I do not advertise the nature of my work, nor seek recognition for my actions. I voluntarily accept the inherent hazards of my profession, placing the welfare and security of others before my own. I serve with honor on and off the battlefield. The ability to control my emotions and my actions, regardless of circumstance, sets me apart from other men. Uncompromising integrity is my standard. My character and honor are steadfast. My word is my bond. We expect to lead and be led. In the absence of orders, I will take charge, lead my teammates, and accomplish the mission. I lead by example in all situations. I will never quit. I persevere and thrive on adversity. My nation expects me to be physically harder and mentally stronger than my enemies. If knocked down, I will get back up every time. I will draw on every remaining ounce of strength to protect my teammates and to accomplish the mission. I am never out of the fight. We demand discipline. We expect innovation. The lives of my teammates and the success of the mission depend on me, my technical skill, tactical proficiency, and attention to detail. My training is never complete. We train for war and fight to win. I stand ready to bring the full spectrum of combat power to bear in order to achieve my mission and the goals established by my country. The execution of my duties will be swift and violent when required, yet guided by the very principles I serve to defend. Brave men have fought and died, building the proud tradition and feared reputation that I am bound to uphold. In the worst of conditions, the legacy of my teammates steadies my resolve and silently guides my every deed. I will not fail." That's a pretty high standard to hold yourself to. What, of all those words, what really stands out to you as the epitome of a SEAL?
What can I say?
You emotional hearing all those words?
Yeah, those words were very carefully worked over so that when these young men are awarded their tridents, complete their training, and are assigned to teams, that's then who they are, every one of them. It's a very, very, very close brotherhood.
And one of the common threads, just as I read that, really for the first time to read that all in that chunk like that, the common thread that seems to run through it all is one of putting others before themselves. And we think of those who have fallen, the 400,000 in World War II, the thousands since in Korea and Vietnam and the Persian Gulf and the wars that are still raging on today. And I think of the verse in the Bible that says, greater love has no man than this, than he lay down his life for his friend. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but you lived this, you have lived this now for almost 70 years. I guess it is 70 years now. Is that what it was all about for you, being willing to put yourself in someone else's place and give up your life for someone else's?
There was nothing in writing at that point in time, and I think that's why Admiral McGuire, then a captain, said, hey, we need to have something which is going to apply to these young men, which lets them know what is expected of them, who they are. And that's exactly what that is. Every one of those young men that graduate, when you meet a Navy SEAL, that's who he is. He's not advertising it, or the closest thing that I come to doing is wearing this because I want to meet as many of my brothers as I can possibly meet.
And to truly live up to all that does take a very unique and special person. And we've sure been hearing from one in this conversation with Dick Lyon, 90 years old of Oceanside, California. If you ever lived in Oceanside, maybe he was your mayor, spent 8 years doing that. What keeps you going? Because I said you don't look 90, and I'll put the picture online to prove it for those who want to look you up. I know you have 9 children and 15 grandchildren and even some great-grandchildren now. None of them ever would have been here if you didn't make it back from those wars, I suppose. When you think about all that, the life that you've led, you ever go back and say, you know, how different my life would have been if I didn't volunteer when I saw that little notice posted for the extremely hazardous volunteer duty?
Absolutely. Things have happened in my life like that. If I had not seen that notice, my whole life would have been different. And I have had that experience over a lot of years in my life. And I have to think that, you know, the Lord is looking over me. Absolutely.
Well, I'm not arguing with your theory that God had a plan for you. I guess the only other thing that I need to ask you, and feel free to add anything, I definitely want to say thank you for serving our country and continuing to serve those men who are following in your footsteps now. This may be a tough one to answer, but what are you most proud of? What gives you the most satisfaction with the way all these years have unfolded?
I've found that the most pleasure in my life comes to me from those precious little grandchildren. My kids are okay. But I absolutely adore the little ones. Yeah, my family is so important to me now. A lot of things have happened in my life, and this has happened to me a lot, where I say, why me? And I haven't got an answer for that.
Well, maybe you still have some time to figure it out.
Yeah, right.
Get back to me if you do.
Okay, I sure will.
That is 90-year-old Dick Lyon of Oceanside, California, the first Navy SEAL to become an admiral. We learned a lot about the SEALs, didn't we? There was a little more to our conversation that I couldn't quite squeeze into the time allowed, and as always, you can find the full-length podcast, even those parts that didn't make the show, at hometownheroesradio.com. You'll find some photos of Dick on the Hometown Heroes Facebook page, and I hope you'll find time for our next episode when I sit down with a New Mexico man who spent more than 3 years as a prisoner of the Japanese. That's all the time we have on Hometown Heroes this time. I'm Paul Leffler, reminding you again that freedom is not free.